The early church leader James says this: everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. But turn on the TV, do a quick scan of the latest news, or look at the tendency of your own heart, and it is clear to see that we often act in the exact opposite way. Anger comes easily. We speak quickly and carelessly, and the patience to listen and understand is, at times, hard to find. But the challenge of our faith in Jesus remains. In a world where it seems everyone is tearing each other down, we are called to be builders of God's better world.
Welcome to worship this morning. My name is Lauren and I serve as one of your pastors here. It is such a joy to be here in worship with you this morning, whether that be upstairs in the Well Cafe, hello to the Well Cafe, or down here in the Well. It is going to be a fantastic morning, as it already has been. Such a great morning. This morning, really, I just want to jump right into it. Our scripture today comes from 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 9, which can be found on page 1772 of the Blue Bibles. If you're in need of one of those Bibles in the Well, they're under the seat in front of you, and in the cafe, they should be on a cart in the back of the room. Now, with that said, if you will join me in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 9. We hear from Paul here as he is talking to the church in Corinth about the church and its leaders. Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. And indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul, but only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task? I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will be rewarded according to their labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building." So the first week of this series, we talked about the choice to build people up rather than to tear them down, to be quick to listen and slow to speak. And last week, we talked about walking in a manner worthy of the calling that has been placed on our lives, living a life of gentleness, of patience, bearing in love with one another. And now this week, I want to talk about all of that again, but in those things, in the listening ears and in the words we speak, in the relationships that we share life with. Today, I want to talk about giving God room to work throughout all of that. Before we really get into that, I have to share a story with you that came to mind as I was reading this scripture. Often in my life, I think that I am pretty decent at making logical decisions. That inner feeling in me is usually pretty on track. I think that I'm typically a planner who weighs the pros and cons of every situation before me. And one afternoon, I decided to put this life of planning and this mindset of a prepared lifestyle to the test. So I signed up to run the Chicago Marathon. And I know some of you are thinking, how in the world is that good planning? But for some reason, I thought it was. So October 12th, 2014, I ran my very first marathon in Chicago. I spent 18 weeks training for this day. And over those 18 weeks, that included 72 training runs, which ended up being a total of 461 miles to prepare for a race. I did all types of things, not only to be physically, but mentally ready for this race. I woke up at 4:30 a.m. often. I went to the track at least once a week, and I spent a great deal of time doing different weights just to prepare my body to carry it further. Now, the morning of the race, if you've ever done a marathon, typically in the training, you don't ever run the 26.2 miles. So until that day, I had still never run that distance. But there was no doubt in my mind that I would finish because I had spent the time. I had done the 461 miles of training. I had physically and mentally prepared my body for what was going to happen. And I remember I finished around 4 hours and 30 minutes, and I felt amazing. I was sore, but it was nothing crazy. Now, ever since 2014, I have been a pretty active runner, sometimes more often than not. But nonetheless, it has become just a part of my schedule. Now, this past semester at school, I know everybody in this room, if people ask you how you're doing, one of our first thoughts would probably be busy. This past semester in school, I kept trying to figure out a plan of how to run, of how to work, of how to be a 23-year-old kid, and I couldn't figure out a plan. So I took some time off of running, and about a month ago, I decided to add it back into my schedule. And now a month for myself is personally enough time to enjoy running again, but not enough time to enjoy running anything over about 5 miles. And so last Saturday evening, I had a Saturday off of work, which I learned is never a good idea now. I was sitting at home around 7:30 at night, and I saw that one of the races for the next morning my friend was registered for was still open for registration. So, less than 12 hours before the race began, with very little training, I signed up for the hottest half marathon, which is a 13.1-mile run in the excruciating heat of a Texas summer day. Now, I began the race feeling great, but then at about mile 5, I was just short of collapsing. The lack of training, the heat, it was all way too much. I cannot even describe the amount of pain that I felt in my toes, in my calves, in my quads. It was unbearable. And for some reason, I pushed through. And now this is not the miraculous part of the story where I tell you to set your mind to something and you can do it. This is the part of the story where I tell you that it was a young and a dumb decision that I never want to experience again in my life. It was a moment where I stand here now, maybe lacking a toenail, and just 2 days out of soreness. The day after I ran this race, I sat at my desk, drinking my coffee, trying to figure out what this message was going to be this week. I kept praying, God, speak into my life. Speak through this scripture. Help me find your voice and share that. But I kept getting distracted. I was distracted from this pain, the fatigue that I felt. I remember taking Tylenol and ice packs and heating pads and the magic essential oils that some people are into, and nothing worked. I remember I was here at 7 o'clock in the morning on Monday, and I literally cried out, God, take this pain from me so that I can focus on your word, so that I can get something done, so that I'm not just standing up there Sunday like. Now, it hit me. Through this pain, there was a message to share. But don't, please, please, please do not hear that as me telling you that God put me through this pain so I would have a message to preach. I know that sometimes people might think that we go through hard times. God puts us through hard times so we can experience joy. And for myself personally, this is not something that I believe. I believe that we live in a hurting and broken world. I believe that bad, sad, and terrible things can happen. But through that pain, I believe that God is able to work. And I believe that this was one of those times. I very willingly put myself through this pain. But God worked through that, and I found my message. I had once so properly and beautifully trained for this marathon, and I found success in that. And then there was a time where I thought I could easily do a half marathon because I've done other ones before. I feel that this is often how we approach our faith, mere human beings as Paul describes us in the scripture, that may not be ready for that solid food, but act as if we are. Mere humans still stuck in our worldly ways, just trying to jump blindly into faith. We come to the Lord and we say that we are here and we are ready to serve you, to live a life worthy of that calling, but yet we get mad when things don't go our way. We get mad when relationships face trials Or we get frustrated when work gets a little hostile. We get upset when we see a family member running from Christ. But yet we haven't spent time with the Lord to learn how to even respond to those situations. We think that God is absent when we don't know where we are being called in our life, when we're trying to make decisions of where to go, what jobs to take, of who to marry, of what state to live in. We get upset when we don't hear the Lord's voice speaking into our lives, when the reality is we haven't done the training. We don't even know what the plans the Lord has for our lives are because we don't know the Lord. We can't hear his voice speaking into our lives because we haven't spent time with the Lord learning what that even sounds like. There was a point in my life where that was something that I struggled with, was hearing the Lord's voice. I struggled a lot with morning devotionals. I don't know about you guys, but mornings, there's a reason you choose the 11 o'clock service, I'm going to guess. I would use this excuse that mornings are just difficult, that I'm busy, that I'm trying to run, I'm trying to pass school, and to fulfill my calling, I have to pass school, so I have to let go of my morning devotionals. So I'm telling my campus minister about this as I'm like crying because school is so hard and I haven't slept in like 6 days. And he's like, Lauren, I think that it's not because mornings are hard. I was like, then what is it? He said, I think that you are afraid to fully expose your heart to the Lord. And this statement made me mad. I was furious. And then it was like a process of emotions. I was mad, I was furious, I was embarrassed because I realized he was right. I never had thought that, but he was right. I was scared to be changed, what a life with your heart fully exposed to the Lord looks like. You see, being a builder and giving God room to work in your life will not always be easy, and it will not always be comfortable. It will challenge you to make sacrifices, to spend your money differently, to use your free time differently, to share life with people you normally wouldn't share life with. Being a builder will change you. Being a builder will change your heart. It will change your eyes, the way you see things, the way your ears, the way you hear things, and it will change your words and the way that we speak. Because being a builder allows Christ and your faith to fully influence everything you think, feel, say, and do. As Pastor Johnny said a couple weeks ago, as builders who are assisting in building the kingdom of God here on earth, we are called to live intentionally. Intentionally meaning that we are called to do things we normally or naturally wouldn't do. We have to intentionally create space for God to come and work in our lives. Because if we don't do this, this world will give us plenty of things to do so that we feel like we don't have time or space for God. When I read this scripture from Corinthians, I began to think, where is it in my life that I'm allowing these seeds to be planted and then to be watered and then grown? Where am I allowing this time? And try to think of an analogy, and this made me think of a house. So for a second, I want us all to take a minute and just think of a house. It can be your house, it can be your dream house, whatever, but don't think of a house, think of a home. And I intentionally said the word home, not house, but I got carried away and said house instead of home. Don't think of a house, think of a home. Think of something that is comfortable to you. I'm not sure what makes you have that feeling like you feel like you're at home. For me, it's my pink fuzzy slippers. That's how I know that I'm home for the day. Maybe yours is a recliner with the little head stain on the back that you know that you're home when you're sitting in that chair. Or a bathrobe or a big fluffy dog that really thinks it's the size of a chihuahua, but it probably weighs more than you. Maybe you have a specific candle that you light when you're at home that just makes you feel cozy. Or just the feeling of having all your family together in the family room or everybody together around the kitchen table. You see, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we allow God into our hearts, the Holy Spirit is able to live in us and our heart becomes a home for God. When I thought about this, I began to wonder, if my home of my heart for God is more of a house than a home. I began to wonder how comfortable God is in my heart. I began to ask, do I truly make room for God? And what does making room for God in my heart even look like? Am I kind of squeezing him out? Am I only allowing him into one corner closet of my heart? Or am I sectioning him off into a perfectly vacuumed area so he doesn't make a mess of the rest of the space? I thought about how I have taken care of this home, how I have tended to the soils, if you will, or watered the foundation. I want to take this a little bit deeper. I want you to think about two rooms in this home as we process through this analogy. I want you to think about the office and the family room. These just happen to be two rooms that I personally spend the most time in my life, and I feel like some of you could probably agree with this statement. Either busy working or busy watching Netflix, but don't worry, I'm not going to make you raise your hand as to which one you're doing. But I want to first focus on the office. This is going to represent our mind or our thoughts. I believe that the office ties directly back to what we addressed the first week of this series, when we have to intentionally make the choice to build up rather than to tear down. This being a choice that we have to intentionally make every single day. And this choice is greatly influenced by what we allow to guide our thoughts. I want to ask you, what are you thinking about? What is the thought that controls the most of your day? You see, the more we think about something, the more that it becomes us. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things." It is crazy how much thoughts can run our lives. What are you thinking about? Is it noble? Is it lovely? Is it praiseworthy? What takes over our day? And how are our thoughts giving God room to work in our life? Or are our thoughts pushing God out of any room that he ever had? The other room here is the family room. And this represents the people that you do life with. As Pastor Johnny talked about last week, who are we sharing life with? Who were the five people that he told us to think about pouring into? Who are the people that you would call your 3 a.m. friends when you are in desperate need of help? Or do you have 3 a.m. friends that you would call when you're in desperate need of help? Or is the reality that the people that you are sharing life with, the people that are putting you in desperate need of help at 3 a.m.? Church, my question to you today is, how are you giving God room to work in your life? Are you doing this? And if you are, what are you doing? What are you doing to grow your faith? What are you doing to move to that solid food that Paul talked about? You see, I think the truth is that we all want this wow kind of faith. The type of faith that leads to famous books and blogs shared by millions of people. We want this faith that people look at and think, wow, that is the kind of faith I want. But the reality is, a wow kind of faith requires time and effort. And the harsh truth is that if we want to be close to Jesus, coming here on Sunday mornings alone is not enough. We have to daily make a choice to be a builder. Not Sundays make a choice to be a builder, but daily. Through our thoughts, through our words, through the people we share life with. We have to give God the room to have an opportunity to work in our lives. As Paul said, there's one who waters it, there's one who plants it, but God is the one who makes it grow. We have to create that space for God to work in our life. Because being a builder requires us to live differently. And this differently, I truly believe, is the best way to live. When we spend time in the scripture, we learn how God works. We learn what God looks like. We can hear what he sounds like. We are able to respond in a quick to listen and slow to speak kind of way. We are able to walk in the way of love. And now all this sounds beautiful and dandy, But just like training for a marathon or planting a garden or building something, it's not overnight. It is a process. It's a process to be a builder. And I'm not sure where you are in your walk with Christ. Maybe you're losing toenails and training for races that you should never be running. Maybe you're in the place that the church of Corinth was in, where they needed a push from someone like Paul. Maybe you are running the race and keeping the faith properly trained. And if that's where you're at, your job is to come alongside others and be a disciple, like we talked about last week. Your job is to help people move towards that solid food. And if you're struggling to train, if you're struggling to figure out a plan, if you're afraid to fully expose your heart to the Lord, maybe you're in need of a little shoving push, a little loving shoving push. Your job is to be willing to be discipled, to open up, to find more room for God to work in your life. And I will tell you, it is hard. The leaders of this church, who are just normal human beings, it's a struggle for them too. Every single day, I struggle with the don't snooze the alarm, don't snooze the alarm, don't snooze the alarm, and still snooze it. And then it's the get up, get going. You have to give God this time. You have to open your heart for him to work. But I will also tell you that we have to make our heart a home for God. We have to. And we have to be in the family room together, building each other up through our words, through our actions, through our listening ears, encouraging one another to be builders, and challenging each other to live differently, to live intentionally, not as this world calls us to live as mere humans, but to live in a matter worthy of the calling that God has placed on our lives, to move towards that solid food, and then to come alongside others and help them move towards that solid food. Next week, we're going to talk about how when you are being a builder, sometimes conflict can arise. But between now and then, I want to encourage you to take a step back, to look at your plan, to look at your schedule, and to think, where is God working in that? Where am I setting aside time to give space for God to work in my life? In the activities that I do, in the friendships that I have, in the meetings that I go to, where is God in that? And then adjust from there. Take baby steps. Because being a builder is a process, and building takes time. So start with God. Start by making room for God to speak into your life. Plant that foundation, and then build up from there. Will you please pray with me? Gracious God, we come here today all on very different paths of faith, trying to move towards that solid food, trying to grow closer to you. Some of us are there. Some of us are at the solid food, trying to build up others, God. Some of us are here just crying out for help. God, wherever we are on this journey with you, I pray that we are open and we are willing, that we are open to seeing you and experiencing you in new ways, that we are open to listening, to being quick to listen and slow to speak, to helping guide others along this path with you to move towards that solid food, God. Help us take a step back this week to look at our lives, to look at where you are in our lives. If there are things in our life that are keeping us from you, God, help us to remove those, to set them aside and to focus on you, to turn our eyes towards you, God. I pray that we continue to feel equipped and strengthened and encouraged to growing closer to you each and every day. I thank you for this time that we have had here together this morning with our brothers and sisters, God, to sing praises to you, to pray to you, to hear some of your word. But I pray that this time was not just 1 hour on a Sunday, God. But that something, somehow, some way this morning, we experienced you and we take that out into this world, God. Because the reality is we live in a hurting and a broken world. We are just trying to be builders of your people. God, help us to move towards that solid food. To choose to be builders and to walk in a way worthy of the calling you've placed on our lives. It's in your name we pray. Amen.